Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow. All right, we are back. Back with the podcast, the Duluth Rundown podcast, Duluth's first running-based podcast, and one of two that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for listening to us. Mike, good to see you again. It's been a little while, maybe like roughly 6 weeks out since our last one. How have you been?
Really good.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this podcast. I think it's pretty special.
Yeah.
50 episodes.
This is our 50th one.
Unbelievable.
So cool. Yeah.
I think way back then, I wonder if we thought we'd do 50.
I don't know. I guess I had hoped that.
Yeah.
I think we had talked about it. We'll just keep going and keep going.
Yeah.
But I didn't. The idea of an actual number or whatever never occurred to me about what it would be. Yeah. But it's exciting for sure.
And it's been really fun. And hopefully our listeners like hearing our voices enough so that we keep going for another 50.
Yeah, it certainly has been fun just talking about the people in the area and the races and just the factors of running here in the Twin Ports, which, you know, all of you who are listening right now, we all love. And it's fun for us to get the opportunity to talk about it, share it with all of you guys. It's fun to hear your thoughts when we meet in person. And we'll just keep on doing it.
I think, you know, even being such a niche topic, especially in the world of podcasts, there's really no shortage of talking points and subject matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. We can go on and on. Now we're doing a monthly, and every month there is something new to talk about, whether it's races or some trail conditions or gear reviews or anything. There's always something going on, which is kind of fun.
Or just us blabbing.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of no shortage of content, should we get right to it?
Let's do it.
All right. So we have quite a few race results. First, let's jump right into the NMTC Spring Trail series, kind of the wrap-up here. Since our last podcast, I think there were, three, four races. One was canceled, the Woodland Run.
Yep.
So we can just kind of go through maybe the top finishers series, series finishers. So first on the men's side, Andrew Papke-Larsen was first in the series. He got the bonus, so that always helps.
Yep.
In fact, the bonus put him into first place.
Oh, cool. Nice job.
Yep. Right behind Alex Richardson, who missed the Billings Drive race. And so congrats to Andrew for making every event. And that booted him into the top spot. On the women's side, actually six deep all had the bonus. So
wow.
A lot of participation.
That's awesome.
Yeah, from the gal side. Christy Nixon was able to hang on with 619 total points behind Molly Watkins with 611. Pretty cool to see. It looks like Christy beat out Molly every race. So that's kind of the difference maker there. And came out on top. So nice job to Christy. And then, of course, in the non-binary results, the last of the three kind of gender categories, so to speak, Sam Frey.
Cool.
Takes it. So nice job, Sam.
Congrats, Sam.
Nice job, Christy and Andrew, for some good running. And I will note, Sam did not get the bonus. So the other two, that was kind of, maybe not a difference maker, but made an impact. Sam got the win without it. So
nice. And I just want to say thank you to the NMTC committee for putting the spring series on. It was a lot of fun. I was able to participate in the first couple of races. And I think maybe, I don't know, how many did you do, Mike?
Yeah, a handful as well.
Yeah. Yep. And really fun series this year. You guys always do a great job, so keep it up.
Yeah, despite the challenging conditions, I mean, it's been wet until maybe about now.
Yeah.
Well, and then it rains today, of course. But I know that was a big challenge with wet, kind of sloppy trails and just drying out slowly, extended spring. So to kind of keep the series alive and still plenty of early season racing for all the trail runners locally. So very cool. And we'll be back to report on the fall series a couple months here, I guess. So.
Yep. Yeah, I'll start up sooner than we think.
Next, we have the YWCA Race Against Racism, a 5K here in Duluth. This was formerly the Mother's Day Walk Run. This year, there were 41 finishers. The top slot goes to Maverick Alholm with a 26:35. And then Mariah Priep, second place, 28:13. And Josephine Ryan, third place with a 28:28. So congrats to all the finishers for the YWCA Race Against Racism. Run for a good cause. Next, we have an inaugural race to report on. This was called the Law Day 5K. It's put on by the Legal Aid Service of Northeastern Minnesota. Kind of a funny photo on their website here of lawyer-type looking people jogging in business suits and ties and overcoats. And that race was won by Aaron Squadroni out of Grand Rapids with a 22:32. And the first female, Sarah McBroom, also out of Grand Rapids with a 31:05. So that was a race here in Duluth. I don't exactly know the course. Maybe that was at Leicester, if I remember right. But
I'm not sure.
Cool to see some new races and you know, results to accompany that. And hopefully we see Law Day 5K on the docket for next year as well. Other races to report on with results. The Moose Run out of Moose Lake, Minnesota. That's always a area classic. Been going on for a while. 121 finishers in the 5K. First place, Tim Kazmierczak, with a just under 19 minutes. And first place on the gal side, Sasha Wahman, 13 years old, wins the race, 21:27.
Way to go, Sasha.
Nice job. I'm going to pull up the 10K as well. That race was won by 14-year-old Jack Aldrich, 38:55. Nice time. And on the gal side, Stella Aldrich. Aldrich family cleaning up here. 16 years old, Stella, with a 46:37. And there were 37 finishers in the 10K version of the Moose Run. We also had results from a popular race that's been grown every year, it seems like, put on by Duluth Running Company. It's called the Pike Lake 10K and Half Marathon. 339 finishers in the 10K alone. Andrew Papke-Larsen, who we just reported he was the winner of the Spring Series, he won the 10K with a 33:59 smoking time. Nice job, Andrew. And then Sydney Carrolls, I think we've reported on her, wins a handful of running races around the area. Out of Duluth, she won the gals version with a 41:29.
Nice.
And 330.
Those are good times on that course.
Yeah, it's a kind of hilly course.
Mm-hmm.
121 finishers in the half marathon. Winning time there was 1 hour, 22 minutes, and 25 seconds by Jackson Luther, 23-year-old out of Duluth. First place in the gal side, Sonny Jenkins, also out of Duluth, with a 1 hour, 33 minutes, and 9 seconds. And 119 other finishers in there. So that's almost 500 total finishers for the Pike Lake races when you combine them. So
yeah, that's good to see.
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. On that same day, which was May 21st, we had the Madeline Island Marathon and Half Marathon. Not necessarily a local Duluth race, but definitely a lot of area runners made the trek across northwestern Wisconsin to get to Madeline Island and finish the race. So we had the first place in the marathon, 2:38:36, Great time from Christian Wobeter out of Verona, Wisconsin. And first place on the gal side with a time of 3:22.09, Sarah Witter out of Menominee, Wisconsin. On the half marathon, the winner was Adam Iscuri from Duluth, 1:16.05. And the gal side, Chelsea Youngberg, also of Duluth, with a 1:26.53. So,
Chelsea running for the Northwoods team there.
Okay.
I should note.
Great.
Yeah.
So, definitely a lot, especially here in the half marathon. It's a spattering of local Duluth runners, Duluth, Superior. Duluth, ninth place, Tony Stensland. 1:34.33. How'd the race go, Tony?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a great day. It was a beautiful day out. It was one of, if not my favorite half marathon course that I've ever ran, with all apologies to grandmas. But that course, like every 2 to 3 miles, you're sort of making a little turn, or you're seeing something different. You're doing running on a different surface or whatever. And so it just mentally, it just sort of kept you engaged. Because by the time I got to about mile five-ish, I was pretty much solo. But I never lost like that, like I call it that engagement,
boredom,
you know.
Yeah.
I never got bored or anything, because it wasn't sort of a whistle stop straight down this chute sort of thing. And the weather was perfect, so we lucked out there. The course is pretty fast. It's a relatively flat. There's a little grind. There's a couple little grinds here and there, especially relatively late. There's one.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a fast course. And what made it even a more special day for me is my wife ran it. My oldest stepdaughter, Mary, ran it. And her best friend also, Emmeline, ran it. And so we all went over there together, stayed for a long weekend. It was their Mary and Emmeline's first half marathon. You know, they trained super well since like February. They followed the training plan, and they just both did tremendous, and both of them crushed their goal time.
Wow.
By a lot, like a minute per mile faster than that they were anticipating that they would do.
Yeah.
So that was the best part, to see those two do so well. In fact, they finished second and third in their age group respectively. And the person who won their age group, their age group was 19 and under, and they're both 17, and the winner was a month away from being 20. So she had a big sort of advantage in terms of age and physicality on her side, and they weren't too far behind her. So they did really, really well on their first ever half marathon.
Yeah, experience too. I mean, at a 19-year-old, you can
And she had ran Grandma's half before, the Yorkland half. So she had a lot of experience, running experience,
Sounds like a fun time, fun family event.
Super fun event. I highly recommend doing Madeline Island sometime if you get a chance.
Awesome.
Yep.
Cool. So it's really fun to see. I mean, this is probably our most robust results reporting since COVID, really. So
easily since COVID.
May is kind of a historically a popular time for races in the area as well, but really cool to see lots of results and some really good times. The fun doesn't stop. We have lots of upcoming races. Well, just a handful right now. We're kind of midway through the month, so it's a little we're maybe a little off our normal regularly scheduled programming, so to speak. But there are some races that are worth noting before we probably hopefully do another rundown early July. So we'll just mention some upcoming ones. The Midnight Sun Midnight Run 5K. That's here in Duluth. Zany event occurring at midnight sharp on the Friday night, which is June 24th here. Fun one down on the lake walk. The Dragon Tail 5-miler is in Lake Nebagman. Kind of a cool format with the 5-mile race distance. And that is spelled D-R-A-G-I-N, not dragon like dragonfly, dragon like dragging. And you can go search that one, sign up. That's a fun one.
Yep, fun little race. Did that last year.
Fun little race. Yeah, it's a Saturday morning event. Dairy Queen is nearby.
Dairy Queen, so, the lake.
The lake, yeah.
Yep.
And then the Sadas 5K is worth noting as well, just because it's so early in the in the month of July. This is a July 4th.
Yeah.
It's essentially the local 4th of July run. So
yeah, it really is. Yep.
If you're in the area, you're looking for something to do on the holiday, Sadas 5K is a super fun race.
That's a really good race. Fast race, kind of a big hill to start, really big hill towards the end. But yeah, fun to get out on the 4th of July and get a race in.
I'll say I've noticed in the Sadas there's a wide variety of skill levels. I mean, there's kind of walkers and joggers, but it's also pretty competitive.
Right.
I think in all age groups, they do age group awards, I believe. In the past they have. I know there's new race organization.
Okay.
A longtime director, Jeff Leno, stepped back. And,
okay.
Yeah, there's a new race director.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So that should be good. And I think we could probably talk about, there are plenty of July races that we just kind of noted down, but we can talk about those on our next episode, I think.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have some big ones coming up that we'll talk about later.
And then there is this also, this local race occurring as we record next weekend. So this is June 18th, or what is it, 17th is when the race is. The 18th. It's called Grandma's Marathon. Heard about it?
I've heard of it, yep.
The Gary Bjorklund Half Marathon, and then the day before, which is... the 17th is the
Friday night,
the William A. Irvin 5K.
Yep.
So, this is probably, I mean, this is the premier running event of the year in Duluth, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, this is like Thursday through Sunday is like Christmas time.
Yeah,
for me, I get so excited. Yeah, I love everything about it. I love the expo. I love the race day especially. I love the day after the race, and everybody's still talking about it.
Buzzing.
And thinking about it, and there's just energy in town. And that Saturday morning, you know, I look out my door, and we live on one of the routes that the buses go out on, so I just boom, bus after bus after bus. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun time. So what are your plans for the weekend, Tony, you yourself?
So really just to try to take it all in as best I can. I'll be down at the expo, a little bit at the press conference. You know, I don't know if you're going to be there as well.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And so we'll be down there. Our podcast will be down there representing, trying to get some interviews from some people. Milton, the defending champion, he's coming into town later today. And so over the course of the week, I'll be hanging out a little bit with Milton, kind of we'll get him ready to roll. I don't know, we'll go to a track and do some stuff or whatever, just try to drive him around to wherever he wants to get some shakeout runs in. Doing that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And for race day
I will be watching the race. I'll probably go down by Glensheen somewhere down there and watch. Yeah.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I'm going to be volunteering on Friday.
Yep.
So for some race setup, I'm on the course for the William A. Irvin 5K as a course marshal.
Nice.
So I'm pretty excited about that. That's always fun. You really get a true sense of the excitement.
Yeah.
Being right down there and setting up and that sort of thing. And I took work off that day to spend time volunteering, but also then I can wake up kind of late and have a little more relaxing day.
Nice.
Because I'm racing the Gary Bjorklund Half Marathon the next day.
Yep.
And so that's kind of the big thing on my mind, I guess. So,
yeah. Are you feeling fit and ready for the half?
I don't know. I have some confusion going on.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years since I've had a race on the docket that I've really been focused on for a long time, I guess, like a solid, 4 month block, I guess. And I put together a training program that I thought would achieve my goal of beating my personal best time.
Nice.
And I think I executed it like almost as good as possible, to the point where I feel excellent.
Cool. That's perfect.
But some of my tester runs and kind of simulation runs, my times aren't where I would hope they'd be. But then I look back, to when I did set my personal best in certain workouts and stuff. It's like, well, I crushed some of those workouts, but you know, my simulation runs like 20 seconds off a mile.
Yeah.
And then I start slowing down after 3 miles.
Right.
Like, well, how can I do that for 13? So I don't know. I have some mental, kind of, insecurities, I guess I'll say.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
But I feel really strong as well. So it's like, I know I'm going to have a fun time and not like totally, you know, burn myself out or something. But,
yeah.
And it's just kind of, if I truly believe that I can't beat my PR,
yeah,
do I go out at that pace or do I just go by feel or do I just say, forget it and here's a time I think I can do? I don't know. So it's kind of just that anxiety, you know, pre-race. I put all this time in and, you know, you don't want to blow it and you got one shot to lay it down, you know, so...
Yeah,
so that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah,
that feeling that you're describing is so common among everybody. Number one, at this time, the taper time, and when you're just right before a race, you're just wondering, did I do enough? And it sounds like you nailed your plan, but there's still questions and doubts, and especially based on sort of your time trial kind of efforts and things. You know, there's always going to everybody, because you never run those time trials and those quicker efforts. You know, just don't run them as fast as you would on a race day.
You can't,
You just simply can't. And so I always tell people, don't get too down on your time trial times.
Yeah, right.
Because it just isn't going to be as fast. And that's one reason why, number one, I don't do them very often myself. And two, I don't prescribe them for my runners very often because of the negative effects that it can take headspace on a person in the headspace.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Even though I know that they're never as fast as a race will be. And I tell my runners that they're never as fast as a race will be. It's still there. The numbers are right there. And you know what your effort is. You're like, right. I just gave 100% effort that 100%, day.
Yeah.
And I'm a minute slower in this,
right,
you know, 5K or whatever. And, there's something magical about race day that you just can't replicate on a time trial.
You put
adrenaline
on a singlet.
For one, putting on a singlet, other people that you're competing with,
yep,
you know, somebody in front that you're trying to reel in or somebody behind you that you're trying to hold off. You don't have any of that in a time trial. And that's even if you get somebody to go in time trial with you.
Right.
It still isn't quite the same.
Yeah. Not to mention the support. I mean, you can douse water every, there's one, it's a hot day or something. It's like, I didn't bring any water.
Right.
Or I bring water and I'm lugging this handheld,
right, you're carrying
around,
this
with me,
handheld, you know, so around.
I think that makes a difference too.
People cheering you on makes a difference.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Especially at grandma's.
So yeah. So even though maybe time trials and that kind of thing maybe don't indicate what you want it to indicate, don't worry about that one bit.
Yeah.
Go out and give her hell.
Yeah. You're right. Well, that's what I'm going to do.
That would be my advice to you, Mike.
And I might have a extreme positive split taking your advice, but well. So what do you recommend for our listeners to do on this weekend, if they're racing, if they're not racing, from a coaching standpoint? If you are racing, what's the best thing to do this week? And if you're not racing, what do you recommend in terms of fun and excitement?
If you are racing, I know right now everybody's been obsessively checking the weather forecast, because that starts to happen, you know, what, maybe 10 days out. And right now, what are we looking at? Sunny, relatively
optimal,
warm day. Yeah, especially pretty good
tailwind
for the half. My concern for race day is if it is that sunny. The temperature, maybe a little bit on the warmer side, but I think it's going to be
low 70s high
enough. Yeah, but the sun... That if it's a full sunny day, especially for the marathon, the whole time starting at 7:45, that's, you know, 2.5 hours for the fastest of our listeners, and more like 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5 for a lot of our listeners. That's a long time in the sun. So sunscreen, a hat or a visor, maybe I don't know what your race kit's going to be, but maybe consider something that's white and going to reflect that heat better.
Yeah,
that sun ray, those sun rays a little bit better. Anything to fight off that sun as best you can. That's one thing, is pay attention to that. Tailwind would be great, cloud cover would be great, but if it doesn't happen, be prepared for that. Two, it does look like it's going to be a touch on the warm side for a marathon, so hydrate really well. 2 days prior. I'm a big fan of a lot of Gatorade the day before a race, just because I like to kind of overstock, I guess, some of the sugars and salts. That's worked for me in the past. It might not work for you. It might not be the thing for some of our listeners if you're maybe super sensitive to the sugar. This is a lot, because Gatorade is a lot of sugar. But that's something that's worked well for me on prior to hot marathons, is to try to load up on Gatorade the day before. And I tell all of my runners, I'm sure I've mentioned this in the podcast over the years, but cut the tangents on the course all the time. In fact, I actually did a little bit of a tangent test, as it were, the other day on Google Earth.
Okay.
So I mapped out the course just on highways on the Scenic 61.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from the start line to where it connects to the expressway.
London Road or...
Well, yeah. I went to the expressway.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And the first... I did it 3 times on Google Earth. And first time I followed the... if you're going course direction, I followed the left white line of the road all the way on Google Earth and mapped that out. Second time I did the right white line all the way. So one time staying on the left side the entire course, one time staying on the right side of the entire course. The other time I did it, I did Google Earth cutting all the tangents as best as I could on Google Earth.
As close, like as tight as you possibly could.
Yeah. The difference in distance wasn't quite as great as I thought it was going to be, but I would estimate it, depending on how fast you're running, I would estimate that you would save probably 20 to 30 seconds just in that section alone. So maybe over the course of the entire race, you might gain 25 to 35 seconds. That's just a guess.
What distance-wise were we talking?
We're talking like maybe 100 to 150 meters difference.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. However, how many times have you heard where people miss their PRs by 30 seconds or so?
Yeah.
They miss the BQ by 30 seconds.
Right.
So it makes a difference.
Right.
It does. Cut the tangents for sure.
And I think it's easy to sometimes, do that correctly, so to speak. I mean, I think of myself, you know, running, and it's like almost too much to think about, like, am I cutting the tangents right? But I think a lot of other runners know that as well. So if you're with a pack, generally, I'd say most people kind of cut the tangents as best they can, and
they
people
do.
Follow. So, you know, you can almost mindlessly just follow the pack well. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pace group leaders should know that. I would hope they would know that. But yeah, you're right. Especially, I think some of the people that you can kind of tell are a little more experienced racers, they typically know that. And some of the inexperienced ones will maybe just stay off to one side the whole time.
Right.
But it does make a big difference. And any race that you do, but the longer the race, the bigger the difference it ends up being.
Yeah. So what about for non-racers? What do you think they should do for the weekend?
Dress for the weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. With this full sun, I might have like a big umbrella or something just to kind of protect, because I'll be out there for a long time as well.
Right.
Potentially bring a chair. Although last year when I did that, I brought a little lawn chair and I set it up and I never sat in it once because I was standing the whole time.
Right.
But, you know, it might be a nice chance to, if you have a chair with you, to just kind of rest a little bit while you're cheering people on.
Yeah.
So again, sunscreen and potentially even a little bit of food or...
Oh, yeah.
Something, you know, a water bottle.
Yeah,
for sure. Because you are out there a long time. If you see the first half marathoner come through to the last marathoner, that's a long day.
You don't want to, if you forget food, you don't want to rely on a drop gel.
Right.
In your hungry state.
Right.
So.
You don't want to bum one off of a runner going by.
Give me a gel. I think for everyone, going to the expo is really fun. Super fun experience, especially if you haven't been.
Yeah.
Always a really enjoyable time. I think it's fun to check out the 5K too. It gets you kind of excited.
Yeah, the 5K is cool because there's many people. There's like 1,200 people in that 5K.
Something like that. I think they set a record this year, actually. So
yeah,
that's really fun. That starts at what, 5 or 6 p.m.?
I think 6 p.m.
I think 6 p.m. on Friday.
On Friday.
The day before.
Yep.
And another tip that I like is utilizing the lake walk on race day for commuting, because you can access so many spots on the course, but then also you can zip down to Canal Park at the finish line really easily using the lake walk.
Yep.
And, I mean, from Leif Erikson Park, which is what, mile 19 and a half or so. Mm-hmm. Is that right? 19 and a half.
I think it's a little farther than that.
Yeah, like 23-ish. Yeah, so. You might be right. Yeah, but either way, I mean, there's like 3 miles of race course, but then it's maybe like a half mile by the lake walk directly to the finish. So, I mean, you can almost sometimes beat your runner if you just hop onto the lake walk and zip down. Yep. Plus, there's you can bike on it. You can inline skate or scooter or whatever on the lake walk, too. So, whereas you can't do that as easily on the sidewalks.
Exactly.
Right? So,
yeah, the bike's a good way to go. Park your car somewhere and then, like you said, utilize the lake walk and some of the side streets to speed ahead and see your runner.
Because, I mean, if you rely on your vehicle and you're at, say, mile 23, and then you hop back in your car to try and park for the finish line, you're faster off walking.
Yep, for sure. So, you are. Because trying to park, you're never going to be able to park very close, and then you have to park a long ways away and then walk. And
And it's not on the course either where you park, so you can't see your runner.
Exactly.
If anything, you park, at the deck or something, walk to the finish and then walk on, through the lake walk back to the course and then kind of double back.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
A couple of little spectator tips. What else do we have to talk about Grandma's Marathon? Anything else on mind?
I don't think so. I'm just so excited for it. I'm excited to see, the top racers. We've got a lot of fast people coming to this race this year.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota Lindworm, Milton coming to defend his championship from last year. CJ Albertson's coming back. It's going to be really cool to watch those folks. I'm super excited about that. Some really good fast Minnesota people, which is really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Always a ton of locals that run really well here at Grandma's. I've got some individual athletes that I'm super excited to see how they perform. They're ready to roll. I'm really pumped for them. And then my training group, we had our last Saturday run this morning, and everybody's fit and ready to go. So
yeah,
it's just gonna be so much fun.
Yeah, it is. It's here, people. Back to our kind of regular rundown. Let's talk about trails. So as we look just this morning, let's see, what is it? Saturday, June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of rainy this morning, maybe an inch of rain, maybe half inch. I mean, nothing crazy. But as we looked, most of the trails in the area were closed down.
Yep.
And I think that's pretty normal if it looks like rain in the forecast and it actually is raining. That it's kind of a preemptive closure.
Yeah.
But I think, generally from here on out, the trails are going to be open. Even after a day, if it's a rainy morning, probably later on in the day, especially if the sun's out or if it's windy.
Yeah.
I think at this time of the year into June, there's enough vegetation, foliage, and water kind of soaks right up.
Yep. Yeah, I would, like you said, we're recording this on Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if they're open tomorrow.
Yeah.
But just check the websites to see for sure.
That's the best bet, to check the COGS, Cyclists of Gitche-Gumee Shores website. They show specifically the Duluth Traverse and other mountain bike trails, but it kind of gives you a sense of what other trails are like.
Yep.
The Superior Hiking Trail doesn't necessarily close down, but it does within a citywide closure.
Right.
But I think you can kind of gauge using the COGS closures, which are updated very frequently, to see, is this going to be muddy or maybe should I stay off? But the city of Duluth, ultimately, they keep their website pretty tidy in terms of notifying for closures. Is that what you were checking on today, or were you on COGS?
I was on Twitter? The COGS one. Actually, I went to the city of Duluth, and they link it to the COGS one now anyway. Yeah. So.
And I've just searched, instead of bookmarking the link or something, just city of Duluth, the natural surface trails.
Yep.
And then that'll, if you use a web browser of your choice.
Your choice,
it'll lead you right there. Google it, I'm saying. That kind of leads into, you have a route of the week that you've been running pretty frequently near your house.
Yeah, so I run this here a lot, but Old Hartley Road in Hartley, do a lot of repeats there. There's a nice kilometer, and sometimes I'll do an out and back as a 2K. Do that all the time, and that trail surface is almost always pretty dry unless it's directly after a rain. But even right now, I'll bet, as we're recording in the afternoon on that set on this Saturday, there may be one or two small puddles, but I bet you could easily run around them and wouldn't be any problems.
You're not making footprints.
Gosh, no.
I mean, it's packed limestone.
Right, it's that crushed, like, class 3 or 5. I don't know, they have a class name for that kind of rock or something.
Class 5, but I think.
Class 5? Yeah. Is that right? Yeah, class 5 trails. So, yeah, you don't... every once in a while, if it's really, really muddy, a bike might leave a tire track.
A rut,
but it has
yeah.
to be really, really wet for that to happen because, like you say, it's so... it's firmly packed.
Mm-hmm.
And it, because it's limestone, it's got like a, almost like a poor man's concrete sort of consistency to it in
right.
a way, however, you know, for lack of a better way to explain it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can generally roll tires on it just fine. So,
right.
Yep.
I think, you know, regardless of the, resiliency of the trail itself, through all seasons, it's an excellent connector trail.
Yes.
Old Hartley Road.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of connects you to Vermilion Road and Hawk Ridge, kind of that area, but also, well, the whole rest of Hartley, but Bagley,
right.
Chester.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really common long run kind of connector.
Yep.
Connector trail kind of right through the center.
And maybe you can fill me in on this, but my understanding is when the trails are closed, like natural surface trails are closed, that kind of trail that Old Hartley Road is not included in that.
Yeah, I would think that's probably correct. I mean, just like a gravel road would not be a natural surface trail.
And it sounds confusing because when you see the term natural surface trail, you think anything like dirt or rock, and then what not would not be natural surface would be paved like a lake walk.
Yeah.
However, what I think it means is not a man-made surface.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So because it's crushed rock, that was brought in and laid laid down on purpose, so it's no longer what's called a natural surface trail.
Yeah.
But that would be like more like a ski trail or obviously a dirt single track.
Right.
Where the surface itself is the natural surface.
Right, right.
It's a little confusing, but I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
And I don't want to I don't want to be wrong about that and start to encourage people, you can go on those trails at any time because it's not a natural surface.
Yeah.
But, so if people are confused, I guess they can kind of do some research, and I'm going to do some research on that because I think that's the case.
Well, ultimately, I think it comes down to common sense that even... I mean, again, don't want to say the wrong thing or something, but I think there's a little bit of common sense too. Like, it rained today, but some trails are more resilient than others. And
right.
I mean, if I think ultimately what causes the damage on trails, right? Like erosion or making footprints that water can pool in and puddle and, and then people go around and it gets bigger. I mean, that's kind of the concern, I guess, of staying off trails in rainy conditions. And even if the trails are open and you notice you're making footprints or ruts or it's kind of just soupy muddy muck on your shoes, you know, maybe turn around. So I think it goes both ways, and I think the best rule of thumb is common sense.
Take it on a day-to-day basis and and see how it goes.
Next we got gear review. I have a gear review for a pair of shoes, a brand I've never tried called On. And I know they've kind of been burgeoning on the running shoe scene for now a couple years. Maybe more of a premium type shoe, I would say, with the idea of there's little air kind of gap pockets in between the EVA foam. Ultimately, I think kind of the hype is, I don't know, it doesn't feel any different than any other shoe, really,
right?
In terms of the cushioning or the underfoot, you know, technology, so to speak. But I will say I really enjoy my Ons. I don't even know the model. They're maybe a little more svelte. They're not a super high cushion model, but
Cloud Surfer,
perhaps.
Maybe that's what I had about 4 years ago.
Okay,
maybe. Yeah, if they still make it.
Yeah. I really like the upper. It's more of like a meshy type upper. Just fits my foot really well. Feels super comfortable. It's not too wide. It's not too narrow or like touching my foot a lot. And I don't know if it's a low drop model. I guess I didn't check the drop on it, but it seems pretty flat, you know, flat to the ground, low drop. Just kind of a comfortable like jogger, you know, kind of medium cushion shoe that really fits what I was looking for. And I like the feel of it a lot so far. So.
Is it going to be your race day shoe?
You know, I don't know. I did kind of my last tune-up run last night in it because I was second-guessing myself. The other shoe I'm looking at is Mizuno. I forget the one.
Your plated one?
The plate. No, it kind of, well, they all kind of have plates.
Rebel?
Rebellion.
Rebellion?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah.
And I was trying to compare them. I had both of them on, one on each foot. And they both seem about the same in terms of lightweightness, like light feel on the foot. The Mizuno definitely had a higher drop, almost to like the point where it's like pushing you forward, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, and I think the other side of that is the On felt a little more like stable underneath my foot, like grounded. So I almost feel like my foot's like smooshing over the top on the Mizunos, you know, like going over the side. It's like a little uneven almost, and so that I get concerns about that with just kind of your feet or ankles mile 10, you know,
yeah,
kinda having to stay upright a little bit. But I think I'm gonna go Mizuno, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I do like the Ons though, so that's gonna be kind of my road jogger through the summer, I think.
Yeah, I liked mine. I had a pair of those, like I said, a few years ago, and I liked them. Yeah, they were good. Like you said though too, the technology, quote unquote, technology,
yeah,
certainly has a visual appeal, and it's like striking, and you're like, oh, and then they call it cloud, and so it sounds all cushy.
Air.
Yeah, and then you try it, and you run in it, and you're like, if you had your eyes closed, you wouldn't know any difference from any other shoe.
Yeah.
Really, there's no, I didn't think there was any unique ride to it at all.
Yeah.
That being said, it was still a good shoe.
It's a good shoe. It feels good, and really, it's not that much more expensive than any other shoe, really.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty comparable, I think. And good one. So
cool.
Last we got what I'm into. Tony, what have you been into lately?
So I have been into a basement project, tearing out some old closets, ripping all those things out, creating a heck of a mess, put in some sort of, I guess, false walls, and then some insulation board behind, and then sheetrock and insulation board behind the sheetrock, and mudding and sanding. I've got one more round of sanding to do today. Try to get some paint on the walls today, maybe second coat tomorrow, and then some baseboard, and then hopefully I'll be done.
Fun.
But it's been taking a long time, and I had to have the insulation and the sheetrock delivered because I don't have a vehicle big enough to carry
a
4x8 sheet of anything. So I ordered that stuff from a local major hardware chain, and it took probably two and a half weeks to finally get here. So there was a big stall in the whole project.
Construction zone.
Yeah, which in a way was kind of okay because I also painted the floor with that garage floor paint, you know, when you throw the flex
stuff.
Yeah, and that gave it a little more time to sort of dry and fully cure and harden up, which I guess so in the long run I was like, well, at least I won't have to worry about scuffing that up.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be a lot more durable because this has sat for so long.
Right.
But at the same time, it was sort of frustrating because I was in the zone, you know. I had the flow going of this project, and then I had to just sit and wait for however many days that it was. But anyway, it came, and I got that stuff put up pretty quick, and so now we're on the finishing part.
Nice.
What about you? What have you been into?
Kind of same house project stuff. For me, they're exterior projects, mainly with my little garden plot. Mm-hmm. And we had such like a delayed spring, it seemed, where just like I wasn't thinking about it. Like, oh, it's too early. Well, geez, it's like mid-May.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, crap, it's starting to get warm. I got a lot of work to do. And so to the detriment of my running time and mileage, I've been working in my side yard trying to get this fence put up and the beds properly manicured and everything, and then seeds in the ground and plant starts in the ground. Now hopefully they're growing, and especially with a little rain, but that's been taking up a lot of time. So that's what I'm into, I guess, by default. But
yeah,
it's fun though.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah,
that's fun stuff.
Well, I think that wraps it up for our June episode, also known as the Grandma's Marathon episode, episode 50 of the Duluth Rundown. And That's all we got for now, but we'll come out with an interview, special interview soon.
Yeah, we have a special interview coming up. Hopefully real soon, maybe get it out prior to Grandma's. If not, it'll be, you know, real close after Grandma's. So stay tuned for that.